Jeff Passan, we played that for you earlier in the week.
You sure about that?
The Juan Soto sweepstakes. I'm not.
Sure about that? That's why.
I am starting to be very fearful, Keith.
This is taking forever.
Take the Red Sox out of it. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I already have taken the Red Sox out of it.
It's hour two. Jones and Keith here on WEEI. I give them a chance. I'm not forecasting they're landing him, but I give him much more of a chance than you.
That's right.
Not as much as Billy.
No.
But, you know, I'm up there. Billy's outflanked me on this one.
Yeah, he has.
But I'm starting to worry for baseball. This signing is not going to get done at the winter meetings, and we're right back where we were. And I was pretty confident that this was going to be wrapped up at the winter meetings next week. In fairness, that's what Passan said.
Yeah.
They're going to have meetings this weekend. Teams are going to be eliminated. They're going to inform teams, and then it's certainly going to be done by next week. I'm starting to have my doubts. And again, that's just a terrible, terrible thing for baseball because it clogs up the market. You have an opportunity to dominate to a degree as much as you can these days. The headlines with a flurry of free agent moves and Juan Soto headlining all of it. And I'm starting to worry it's going to drag out past the winter meetings. I know a lot of you probably feel like it already is dragging. There's a bunch of news that's really a lack of news.
It's no news.
But I'm okay with that as long as it's wrapped up next week at the meetings. That's when the hot stove needs to happen.
So the meetings end Thursday.
Yeah.
You think Thursday we're going to be doing a show knowing where Juan Soto is?
I don't.
Yeah, me neither.
If you asked me this even 2 days ago, my answer would be absolutely. I'm not so sure. All the teams still think they're in it.
So that's the other thing. Is like the news pretty early on was here are the teams that are in it. And then that we sort of dragged out. They're all meeting and, you know, whatever. And you find out the GM or the owner is or isn't meeting, but whatever. It's those five teams kind of whittled it down to five. Then a couple days ago it was, they're going to let teams know that they're out of it.
Right.
Well, we haven't heard any of that.
No.
I'm not even sure the teams have heard any of that.
No.
So we're still at five teams. Yankees, Mets, Blue Jays, Dodgers, Red Sox. That
is
where we started, and that's where we're at now.
This is my fear. Spear wrote yesterday the Red Sox haven't been told they're out. Okay. No team has been told that they're out yet, despite reporting that they would be. And the other thing that I'm leery about, and Spear also wrote this, teams feel like Steve Cohen is just waiting to trump everybody's offer by $50 million, which I kind of buy. I think the Mets are going to wind up, if I had to pick who I think is going to end up with Soto, it's the Mets.
It's an auction.
But
get the little paddles. That's what they should do on live TV. They should do an auction with the five teams.
I love it.
And you have a really good auctioneer. I can't do it, but I got
auctioneer. Yeah,
you need like the best auctioneer, like the best in the business. And he rips through it. And then you have Steve Cohen just sitting there with a golden paddle, being like, $800 million.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh my god, we can't keep it.
Let's go Red Sox.
That's nice.
Who would you have holding the paddle for the Red Sox? You could bring anybody.
Ortiz,
David Ortiz.
Yeah.
Clutch athlete makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm,
so not Wally or Tessie.
What happened?
No.
What happened to Elaine with the JFK golf clubs? Didn't she go a little ham with the JFK golf clubs?
Too much.
You
get there, you get pretty competitive.
That's why I would pick Ortiz because like you're told to go in with a budget.
Yeah.
But Ortiz, it just kind of gets
just
away from him.
Throwing him out of the car like Kramer.
Yeah.
Well, there's a great auction scene in the movie Money Talks, which is a slept-on movie with Chris Tucker and Charlie Sheen.
Oh.
There's a tremendous scene. Billy's giving me the thumbs up. Great auction.
Billy gave
it
an immediate thumbs up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Car auction. Vic Damone's son.
Yeah. Vic Damone. And then Paul Sorvino's in there, and then he gets all fired up about it. Then he has to win the car. It can be pretty intense with an auction. I think people would like that.
I like a fantasy football auction. I'm a fan of that.
Like Money Talks.
Dude, Money Talks is great. We should do a rewatch and talk about it tomorrow.
Add it to the queue.
Think about all the eyeballs that were on LeBron James for his decision special.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just LeBron James sitting up there and being like, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. If you really had five teams sit there, and I guess the deal would be Juan Soto has to agree to go to whoever wins the highest bid. But I think that he would. Doesn't all indication tell you that of all players, most of them would do this anyway, but specifically a guy who's already been on three different teams and hired Scott Boras to be his agent.
And the second the World Series ended said,
the second!
All 30 teams, I go to any of the 30 teams, which is his way of saying, just give me the most money, I'll go there.
The champagne was still being popped in the opposing locker room, and he's like, I'm open for business.
I'm with you.
He's going to the highest bidder. So does Cohen get the last call, or like can Henry be like, no, I want the last call? Like, how does this work?
Well, so this is what Alex Spear wrote about, and I do agree with the Twitch chat. Well, number one, they agree with you on Money Talks. I saw Ian Brock there immediately. It was like, good call,
it's
Keith.
Unbelievable. It's maybe one of the more underrated comedies ever.
Number two, I saw, I think it was Dubs 985, say, well, this is how baseball free agency works. Well, it's how it's worked.
Sadly.
Past tense. Yeah. I thought, based on how embarrassing free agency was last year, and given that it's Juan Soto and it seemed like there was some early traction and movement, I thought this off, stupid me, I thought this offseason might go differently. I now am fearful that it's going to be the same thing as last year, which would suck for the sport. But Alex Speer wrote, the Red Sox have expressed interest in an additional meeting in which Scott Boras and Juan Soto would identify a price that would get a deal done.
All right.
It's unknown if such a meeting has been or will be granted.
Oh.
But the Red Sox are basically saying, all right, don't give Steve Cohen the final hammer.
Okay, I like that.
We're not going to put an offer down.
I like it.
Just to have Steve Cohen blow it out of the water. Tell us what the number is.
Yeah.
And then we'll tell you if we can get to it. What's the number?
Write it. Yeah.
Slide it across the table.
Do you write it down?
Sure.
You don't say such a big number, right?
How do you write it? Do you write all the zeros? Because that could get confusing. Or do you write write 700 million? I would write the word million.
Well,
I wouldn't get lost in all the zeros because I'd be afraid I Mr. Evil or Dr. Evil it.
That's a good point.
And now I'm off by a decimal place or two.
I would convert it to PS5s and then I would slide it across and he's like double checking. Yeah. And he's like, wait a minute, what is this? 300?
PS5 in your kitchen?
300 million PS5s? That's right.
7 trillion hams? What does that
That's
mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
you want to be paid in ham?
They're like, I don't know. You want to be paid in actual hams?
Like the old Letterman show used to give away hams.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just give him a big spiral ham. Like, this is why he's like, I don't think we can negotiate with this guy. He's a monster.
You're right. I don't think you write it down and slide across the table, though.
I think it's like, I've never been in a meeting like of that high leverage, but I feel like it's
that's not how you negotiate here.
I wrote the letter. Yeah. I wrote the number down, slid it across the table.
They're like, we'll definitely take that number.
They're like,
that's it.
This is what you want for the whole year?
But then you actually get PS5s.
Yeah.
They're like, fine, we got to call. Keyphone's 3 PS5s. For the year? Like,
Then you turn it to Ty Law. You can't pay your kids with PS5s. No, you can't feed your kids with PS5s.
That's true. You drive a hard bargain, Keith. It's a deal. I'm like, yes. Yeah, I did a great job there. But so, they got to figure all that out. But I feel like that number is too high. Like, you can't say $700 million because you know how staggering that is. So you have to write it down, slide it across the table. They look at it like, yeah, all right.
Okay.
But I think it's also going to come down to opt-out years with him. Sheer number of years. There's some reporting that it might be a record-breaking, might be like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, this guy is very good. But then it gets down to like the... I mean, how much can you...
Well,
how overboard can you go to get them?
There are complexities to it. Deferred money, not to play this game, but state taxes. As you said, opt-out years. and there are other elements to it. But the real thing we're all talking about is the money.
The final number.
$700 million. I mean, it's pretty simple what it is. How it's going to be structured in the cash flow, that can all get negotiated. But what we're really talking about is the big figure. So are you... I mean, I probably know your answer already. Is it encouraging at all they're trying to get a deal like this done? Hey, we want to meet directly with Boras and or Soto and tell us what it is. Is that encouraging in any way, shape, or form, or is it just more, hey, we're just trying to win PR?
No, I think that's probably better than not, right? Like, you see sort of the way the wind's blowing on this, and you're like, all right, we also need to get ready for the rest of our offseason. So, I mean, that gives me, I wouldn't say hope, because I don't think they're going to get him, but it at least is... another tactic you can use, and if you have $600 million set aside for Juan Soto and you're not going to get him, do I really need to wait 2 more weeks to find out we don't get him, or can I get in early on Corbin Burns and Max Fried and Bregman, and like we can still have a good offseason without Juan Soto? That's what they're thinking. And so, yeah, let's figure this out right now. We don't want to be left in the dark and be like, because at this point, if you agree or believe the reports, they've already made 2 offers.
Mm-hmm.
So they started with one.
They made their first offer.
They didn't get laughed at, but they didn't get accepted. So they gave another one.
They upped their second offer to a reported 13 years, 625 with Hector Gomez.
And maybe they're going to have this meeting if they even get it, which is not a great sign. Right? Like, if they even get it.
Right.
Like, don't you want to find out if a team's going to give you $700 million?
But I agree that's not ideal, but don't you think that's more Boras just not going to give you that number, because that'd be a bad job by him to say, here's the number we want, and we'll just give it to you. What if you can worm $100 million out of another team?
Yeah.
You know, or $50 million or even $20 million out of another team? Like, why Why would you just take that when you don't shop it around to everybody and get the best possible deal for your client?
It is so annoying that Boris has this guy. After he screwed up last year, I thought guys might turn on him and be like, what did you do with Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery? Like, we're done with you. But Juan Soto, anybody could be his agent right now.
Well,
anybody.
And this is kind of what I was hoping to. Snell signed early in this offseason. And so I
think he was just scared.
Agreed. But more players should be scared. And I thought this would be wrapped up sooner, and my fear is it's now going to drag out.
So here's the one positive.
That does kill baseball.
So last year, Shohei Ohtani was clearly the biggest free agent. He signed on December 11th.
So was that at the winter meetings or just at? I feel like it was like just at. I think we did this last year where they left the winter meetings without a deal, but it was shortly thereafter, which I guess is fine.
But it was like 2 weeks before Christmas, which I'll take.
Yeah, I'll take it. But the idea is still a flurry of activity for the sport. This guy signs, then the logjam breaks, and it's boom, boom, boom.
Unfortunately,
and baseball gets a lot of buzz.
They need to change the rules and enforce players to sign at certain times.
I don't know that you can change the rules per se, but you can pressure these agents and players, and there are ways to do that. And I thought last year was so bad, there was a chance that could happen.
Can you not change the rules and be like...
And be like, you have to sign by this date?
Yeah.
And what if a guy doesn't get signed? They can't play the next year? I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, Blake Snell was not allowed to play Major League Baseball last year because he didn't sign in the window?
Or, you can't play... Not you can't play, but you can't play until June.
Okay. Maybe there is a way
something
to
along those lines.
Okay. You can't
and
play
maybe
until
some
after
pitchers
a
are like, okay, that's actually better for me, but I think for other guys, like, they need to somehow incentivize... like a flurry like the other sports have. It's awesome in NBA free agency or NFL free agency where you get going. And every once in a while, a few guys kind of drag out there. But in 2021, how aggressive the Patriots were that year. And the first day, it's like Hunter Henry and Matt Judon and Jonnu Smith and Kendrick Bourne, like bing, 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 bing. It was great. Baseball is the opposite of that. And it's brutal. They need all the help they can get.
Yeah. And so
they do need to tweak it.
But what you need is this Boris client who's holding things
log
up.
Jam.
You need him to sign early. And again, how do you do that? Maybe there's a way to incentivize it, or just Boris needs to have some humility, or the players need to push back and say, hey, you know what? I didn't like how that went last year. Let's get this wrapped up because I don't want to be Blake Snell.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Jordan Montgomery.
Any chance any of the teams take themselves out? Meaning they don't like the negotiations taking this long, and they say, all right, you're not giving us an answer. All you're trying to do is squeeze a few more bucks out of us.
So
we're going to turn our attention to Corbin Burns.
Maybe the Dodgers?
Yeah, because apparently the top Japanese pitcher, he's
Sasaki.
Most likely to go there.
Yeah. So
did you read that?
I did. So,
so they could have the three best Japanese pitchers in the world all on their rotation, and Snell and Glasnow.
They don't have room for him.
Well, yeah, they could. Isn't Walker Buehler out?
He's out.
A free agent. I think he would. He'd be one of their five starters.
Oh, no, he would be. He's that good, but it's like they have like seven guys.
Yeah,
that
I mean, oh, right. I get what you mean.
To answer your question,
yeah.
The one team that I think from a PR standpoint can say, we're not doing this, is the Dodgers.
Yeah, the other teams have to stay.
The Red Sox can't be like, too rich for our blood, we're out.
No, because they want people to think that they're super serious about it.
I doubt the Blue Jays can do that. The New York teams definitely can't do that. So the only team that I think possibly would get the benefit of the doubt from a PR standpoint from their fan base, they've already signed Snell. They won the World Series. They're really good. They get the benefit of the doubt on not spending on players because they've spent on everyone. I think the one team that could do that with the Dodgers. Otherwise, my answer is no. I don't think you can say we're out.
No, they gotta stay in.
Because your fans will kick and scream about it, and rightfully so.
And do you think so? Snell and I guess Kikuchi. Like, there hasn't been a lot of top, let's call it 20 free agents that have signed.
Aroldis Chapman, noted good guy.
There's not been a lot of top 20 free agents that have signed. So my question would be, are all of those guys in a position where they're like, we're just waiting? Or do some of them say, I don't want to be Snell and Montgomery from a year ago. Let's find a deal somewhere.
Isn't the problem a lot of the same teams are in? That is a big problem. The problem for Corbin Burns is a lot of the same teams that are in on Soto are in on Corbin Burns. So he kind of has to wait.
But I'd be so annoyed. And I guess you do have to wait. Now, that's five of the 30 teams. Now, those are the five teams that have top 8 money, right? Because the Phillies aren't involved in this. Like, they could go and get somebody else. The Cubs aren't involved in this. No,
The one thing I think the Red Sox could do in the meantime is trade a prospect or trade Casas or Abreu or somebody like that. They could make a trade in the meantime. These teams can make trades in the meantime. I don't think you can free up the free agency in this case because a lot of guys are waiting on Soto and Burns, and they're both represented by Boris, and Burns has got to wait, I think, or else he's taking away potential options, you know, for himself. I don't get texts like this, 37937.
Yes.
The Red Sox should move on to other options. That I'm fine with if you think you're not going to get him. I wouldn't have given him $600 million, never mind $700 million, which I get is a lot of money.
It is a ton of money.
Over 15 years, it's when I mean, I know it's a crazy thing to say, to brush aside $100 million, but $100 million over 15 years, when you really break it down per season, it's not that much extra money is my only point.
Well, that's the thing. Is, like,
is there a line? Like, what's the line? Like, I'm like $700 million, whatever, pay it to him. $750 million, whatever, pay it to him. Like, what's the line? Is so, there a line on Soto?
I think if this was no. To answer your question, no.
I don't really think there is either. If somebody else is willing to spend it, you should top it.
I was trying to think in the other sports, right? Like hockey, they have comically low contracts. You put that to the side. Basketball, they're set. So it's like the numbers are high, but that's what the going rate is. If a guy qualifies for a supermax, he gets a supermax, that's it. Football is a completely different animal because all the money's fake and like whatever else, and there's all ways to get out of it. But there is no salary cap or even a fake salary cap in baseball. So I'm in favor of giving him whatever. Like, the money's crazy, and we got, you know, it's hard to wrap our minds around it because it is such an insane number that these guys are getting. But you kind of have to put that to the side for a minute and say, you know, Mookie Betts signs this massive deal. And then when you look at the average annual as it's playing out, and then you see what teams are making and teams are spending, that's a good deal.
I mean, we thought Rafael Devers was a crap ton of money. $300 million.
But
these are like, about to get blown. It's going to probably look like a bargain in a little bit.
Yeah, but no.
I mean, he's going to be a DH, but.
I would probably spend whatever. Like, okay. it's still John Henry's money and those guys. And you know, the ticket to Fenway costs what it costs. So, like, no, I would want them to spend it.
This is more satisfactory to me. 617-779-7937. They could sign Bregman, Alonzo, and Burns for $600 million. If you're telling me you're signing the same amount of money.
Right.
And you're going to spread it out over three guys, I'd still rather have Soto, but yeah. I think that's much more reasonable than $600 million is crazy.
No, that's fine.
Yeah,
if that's how you feel, great, because I just want them to spend that money.
You're telling me they're spending it either way, and now we're questioning how they're spending it? Fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Because last year, and I keep going back to it, but there were reports that they were interested in Yamamoto, and they wanted to be aggressive in Yamamoto, and it was even some of the comments that like Breslow made. They wanted Yamamoto, and if they had $300 million for him, great. But then they didn't sign anybody after that. So if you are telling us that you are willing to spend $600 on Soto, you better be willing to spend $200, $100, and $100 on those other four guys we just named, I would think. Now, again,
this is
where the great conversation comes in because you and I don't like Aroldis Chapman. They spent $11 million or whatever it is on Chapman. So some would say, hey, that's spending. Not really. It's one-year kind of one-off thing. But invest in the team. So, yeah, I want Soto because my fear is – hey, guys, we were in on Soto, and now we get, like, five Chapman types.
I just don't understand. People don't get it. You need stars. It's Boston.
You need
not just impact players and good players. You need superstars. You need name recognition. I don't get how people don't understand that. It's the biggest drop-off they've had in the last few years. It's what you need. And so Juan Soto is an opportunity to get a guy like that. Otani was an opportunity to get a guy like that. They didn't even meet with him last year, for God's sakes.
No, they didn't.
617-779-7937. We have the Week in Review on the way at 11:45, right after Trending with Billy Lanny. Let's get to a Friday four-pack with this weekend's games in the NFL. That's next.
Jones and Keith, you're on WEEI. It's normally a Patriots Friday.
Not so much here today. Talked to Dietrich Wise earlier in the week. Alex Van Pelt blew us off. Blew us off is strong. We had something that we thought was scheduled, not so much.
Switcheroo.
The old switcheroo, exactly.
Like, next week, though, I don't want to say anything.
I mean, so. I assume, yes, but it's dangerous to assume in a lot of these cases.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I would ultimately expect that we'll get back to our normal Patriots Monday stuff next week. However, we do have our four-pack of questions every single Friday, normally tied to the Patriots and that week's opponent.
That's right.
It's a bye week. We'll get to Keys to the bye week coming up at 1 o'clock here today. Yeah. But right now we have a Friday four-pack of this weekend's games, week 14 in the NFL. Let's get to it, Billy.
All right, first question. What will be the biggest upset of the weekend?
You want to go first?
Yes. I think I like the Bears against the 49ers.
The Bears.
The 49ers are 3.5-point favorites. They're not playing well. They are going to be without Christian McCaffrey. They're going to be without his backup running back Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason. I feel like there's been a lot of Jordans on the
Jordan,
show.
Jordan, yeah.
But
Air Jordan.
They're down to their third running back. Purdy's dinged up. Deebo Samuel doesn't look healthy. Like, the whole thing looks off. The Bears fired their coach. I think you get your dead cap bounce there. Their offense has already looked better with Thomas Brown. They haven't played since Thanksgiving. I think the Bears pull off the upset this weekend against the 49ers. There's honestly not a ton of options I see on the board, so I'm curious where you're going.
Yeah, so I have a little bit of pause only because this underdog beat this same team 2 weeks ago. Oh. And the chance of them doing it
Browns?
Yeah, division games I think are usually ripe for upsets. That's where you sort of get these teams know each other really well, or there's bad blood, or something weird happens with the game. So this time it's in Pittsburgh. They're 6.5-point favorites. But I feel like there's something about Pittsburgh where we're starting to be like, hey, yeah, they are pretty good. Like, they look really good last week, and then in comes Cleveland. Jameis Winston with some of his crazy plays and passing yards. I feel like they at least cover and maybe pull out the win.
So I don't mind that. I also think there's an element of, is Pittsburgh looking ahead to Philly next week?
We
talked about this with the Lions yesterday. The other game I thought about, I didn't go there, but the other game I thought about for that same reason is the Bills getting upset in L.A. You could fly across the country to the Rams. Rams are home. I think they're the only home dog on the board, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you might be right about that.
I don't know. I usually like a team.
Giants are also home dog.
That one I like less. But so I normally like a team catching points at home. That's the other one I thought about. The Bills, the Bills to me are just too good. But maybe if they're looking ahead to a huge game against the Lions next week, Lions are going to have extended time going into that game. Maybe they get caught in a look ahead flying across the country.
Yeah,
but I went with the Bears. You're going with the Browns. Clean sweep of the Steelers with Jameis Winston. What else do we have, Billy?
Will Saquon Barkley be the MVP favorite after this week?
I say yes. I say yes. Part of it is maybe the Bills do struggle with the Rams at the Rams, because right now Josh Allen has to be the favorite, so maybe he doesn't have his greatest game. Saquon Barkley is set up. Now, the only thing that scares me is they might be beating the Panthers by so much. Saquon Barkley is not a guy who chases stats. There was even earlier in the year, there's a scene of him on the bench, and Nick Sirianni comes over to him and he says, hey, you're like 9 yards away from your career high or something. He's like, do you want to go in there and get it?
He's like, nah.
No, I'm good. Let the other guys play. So he might not get it because of that, but this is such a great matchup for him. The Carolina defense is atrocious. Saquon's chasing a 2,000-yard season. It's funny, on the different betting sites, he is so minus money on one touchdown that two touchdowns is like plus 150.
I believe
like crazy.
That's insane. Because that's not.
This morning, it was minus 290 to score
for one.
For one, yeah,
minus 290 for
plus
one.
Plus 150 for two. That's insane.
I think it was like two for two. Yeah, it was like not even worth betting for two.
I took Puka plus 145 for one when we did the Bozo touchdown parlay. So
that's
no,
what I'm talking about.
I think he will. Yeah, okay, I don't, but I believe his over-under rushing total for the weekend is like 124 yards. It's like something crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what he averages every week.
Yep.
I do not think he'll be considered the MVP after this weekend. I do think it's Allen. I think Allen will stay that way until he drops a game or two. Like, that Lions game could be a big swing.
If he loses to the Lions, because Barkley's at least getting more credit than Hurts, which is good to see. Because normally it's like,
he should.
Because even in Detroit, people are like, Goff. And it's like, yeah, I mean, Goff's pulling the trigger, but he's got all these other guys.
Okay, but that, if the Lions had one back doing what the two of them are doing, which is basically what Barkley's doing, I do think the Lions running back might be the candidate.
See,
there,
I
maybe.
Look at the, well, yeah, but I look at the, oh, yeah, maybe, right, if
because,
there's
the because
same
not
stats,
only is sure, it a quarterback yeah, yeah, versus a running back, it's a quarterback versus two. Running back splitting the work, yeah.
But I don't think Goff should even be like an MVP candidate.
No.
But, like, he is. He's like
but
top
gotta,
five odds.
You got to
right
pick
now.
Somebody
yeah
on the Lions.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Allen just has so many more opportunities at signature games.
Yeah.
And this wouldn't be a week, but even if Barkley knows past him, which I understand is the spirit of the question, the opportunity for Allen to come right back and make a statement game the following week against the Lions.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Barkley would be the MVP. But we do agree on this. If I had a vote, I don't.
No.
If I had a
vote, what's up with that?
He would be my pick right now. I would vote for him as the MVP today because he's had a phenomenal year. And I would lean into a non-quarterback as a tiebreaker these days just to make a point, because quarterbacks win the award every single year. What's next, Billy?
If you could only watch one game, what would it be?
Why don't you...
Sunday Night Football for me. It would be Chiefs-Chargers. So I like the Chargers. They've been winning some of their games ugly. They're 8-4 under Jim Harbaugh this year. They got rid of their, like, star receivers, but Ladd McConkey has come in and had a great rookie year. speaking of winning ugly, the Kansas City Chiefs have done it all year long. They're 11-1, so big division game here. Also, the primetime game. Not that that really matters for the sake of the question, but Chargers Chiefs should be a really good one.
Okay, and but I like that it's a standalone game because that means I know there's no Patriots game this weekend, but you really can sit back and watch it. I think that's probably the right answer, which is why I like that you went first. I'll give you an alternative game that I'm also looking forward to. Although, again, I think Chargers Chiefs is the game of the weekend. Kirk Cousins returns to Minnesota. Falcons and Vikings. The Vikings win a lot of games the same way the Chiefs do, by the way.
Oh my God. And not aesthetically pleasing.
No. They win ugly every week against bad teams.
Falcons need it too.
Falcons need it.
They should bench Cousins.
Cousins reeling. They're not going to. We talked about it earlier in the week. No. I thought there was a non-zero chance they would go to Penix this week.
Cousins revenge game. How do you think he does?
I don't think he does well.
Okay.
I don't like I think this has Kirk Cousins pants crapping written all over it. But either way, I think it's a good story. He goes into Minnesota. He lights them up. He goes in there. He craps his pants. That's a fun added storyline to what are, I mean, the Vikings are a good team. The Falcons are what I believe deep down is a good team, but they're not playing well.
No.
So I think that's probably the runner-up to the Sunday night game this weekend.
Okay.
What's our final question, Billy?
Will any coaches be fired after this weekend?
My instinct is to say no. Like, if they were going to fire Daboll or Doug Peterson, they'd be fired by now. So who do you have your eyes on?
I say yes. I say this is it, the last stand for Doug Peterson. They're playing the Titans. So I think that's important because the Titans are also trash. So if you go to, they'll be 2-11. It would be, I think, a 5 or 6 game losing streak. You were already kind of teetering with it. And I think you just say enough is enough. Now, I guess the one argument against it would be like, all right, he's had quarterback issues.
Do you think they're losing the game? Think they're losing at the Titans this week?
Yeah, they better, because me and Billy got the Kine, Westbrook, Kine, and Ridley scoring touchdowns. That's so,
I don't necessarily need to win in that scenario, but yeah,
that's
a good
Titans,
point.
No, I do think the Titans win.
They are favored.
So I think it's one of those ones where, all right, do we want to begin our shakeup now? They could very well just wait to the end of the season. But three other teams have already fired their coach in season, so we got a handful of interim coaches right now.
But the thing with Peterson, we really thought he was going to get fired after the Patriots game on the way back from London.
But he won didn't. That.
No, I'm saying going into that game, we thought there was a real chance he was going to get fired. There were reports out.
But that's the last game they won.
Right. There were reports out the morning of the day they got smoked by the Lions. How much did they lose to the Lions? 52-6.
52-6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that was the worst loss in franchise history.
There were reports that morning that if they lost to the Lions, he could lose his job. He's still here.
That's true.
I would fire him. I wouldn't stick with him. It's crazy they're sticking with him. I'm just saying. If the Jaguars and Giants, because I think Daboll's really on the hot seat too, if they haven't fired them yet, why at this point don't you just finish out the year?
Yeah, maybe you would. Although that franchise fired Urban Meyer with 2 games to go.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
So they play the Titans, then the Jets, then the Raiders, then the Titans again.
Could Pierce get fired? That's another one I'd look at.
I don't think so. Is this his first full year?
Yes.
I think they ride it out, and then they reset in the offseason.
Okay. I mean, my answer is no. I don't think anybody gets fired, but that would be another name to throw on the list because he's not going to be back next year.
No.
So there you go. A 4-pack of questions on a Patriots bye week. The NFL this weekend, what are you watching? What are the best games? What are the upsets? Is anybody getting fired? Saquon Barkley, MVP. We covered all of that there. If you missed any of it, check it out on the Audacy app, Audacy. Take it with you wherever you go. It's free. It's easy. It's great to have on your phone this holiday season. You won't miss out on any of WEEI. Meanwhile, if you missed out on the show this week, we have the Week in Review. That's next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Get everybody pile in the minivan. Chainsaw. We're going.
And worst...
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keith's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
Oh, man, what a week it was here on Jones and Keith WEEI. A lot of great stuff. We'll try to... review as much of it as we can. Let's start on Patriots Monday. Christian Gonzalez, friend of the show, was on with us once again, and that means another man-to-man-to-man.
Well, now, this one, before we get going, this one was more...
Man-to-man-to-man.
This one was... They were well-received, I would say, the first go-rounds.
This one more mixed.
This one was more mixed.
This one was more mixed.
Precisely. Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
You say flight or invisibility?
Yes.
Probably flight.
Okay. How many holes does a straw have?
One.
So fast.
Do you have a hidden talent?
It is. Nah. Not really. Not for real.
What would your last meal be?
Keith and food.
Got it.
Probably some chicken, some fried chicken, some waffles, some yams, something like that.
Nice, yams. All right, would you rather vomit on your hero or be vomited on by your hero?
Definitely vomit on.
Yeah.
Vomit on my hero.
Good.
Who's the most famous person in your phone?
What if my hero is Blake Lively?
Most famous person in my phone?
Bill Belichick. The drug man.
Nobody, for real. Probably some one of my teammates.
Okay.
Who's the most famous teammate? No, that's not a question. Go ahead. All right, Joe, next one.
You want Keith's number? We can put that in your phone. Here's a riddle as old as time. What came first, the chicken or the egg?
The egg.
How many Very chickens quick. Would it take to kill
an elephant? He got help. He might have. Yeah.
I think he phoned a friend.
Probably like 1,000.
Do you fold toilet paper or do you crinkle it?
What?
Do you fold toilet paper like neatly or you kind of ball it up, crinkle it?
Crazy.
He's like, I don't even use that.
Yeah.
Fold.
Nice.
If there was a Patriots team Royal Rumble, who would win it?
Probably D-more.
All right, there you go. Probably that's how you D-more. Play man-to-man-to-man. So nice. Tune in next Monday for another edition.
Are we sure we get them on Monday?
I think we have like 5 more of these. Actually, I can't assume anything with this.
I'm assuming we get them on Monday. By the way, listener submissions. At Jones and Keefe. Some of those, not all, but some of those are listeners.
We're not going to tell you which.
You can guess which. At Jones and Keefe, Twitter and Instagram, at Jones WEEI, at Keefe 21. Send those in. We'll keep our eyes peeled.
So that was Patriots Monday. And then with the bye week, Patriots Friday actually came our way on Tuesday, where friend of the show and Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee Dietrich Wise joined the show.
Nice.
And what I like about Dietrich is I think he really just unplugs. I don't think he really pays attention to what happens around the league.
I'll say.
Around the weekend in college football or any of that.
I don't know if you saw what went down at Michigan and Ohio State after the game, but I'll catch you up to speed. Michigan wins the game. You did see that?
I did not see
that. Oh, you did not see that one. I'm sorry. Okay, so what happened is Michigan planted a flag at midfield after beating Ohio State in a rivalry game. You went to Arkansas. LSU, I think, is your big rival. How would you handle, I don't know, LSU coming out and planting their flag at midfield?
Who won? I'm sorry.
The game was in Ohio State. They were big favorites. Michigan won the game, and then Michigan took a Michigan flag, planted it at the 50-yard line to celebrate.
Oh, wow.
And then Ohio State players started fighting them.
Yeah,
there were fans. There were like security. Yeah, it was a whole thing.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a real tough decision. First of all, the game is over. If you wanted to do all the fighting, you should have done it during the game. Have the energy towards winning the game. Second of all, I can see both sides. Ohio, I think it's disrespect. And at the end of the day, if you want to get back at them, work super hard next year to beat them. Make sure they never do it again.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Landed it.
A little bit of explaining.
Landed it. Right
I like
there.
How he was once we fully talked.
Oh, that's awful.
I feel like I did tell him at the beginning, but then you laid it out better, Keith.
Thank you.
You painted a better word picture
Took
for
a second
him.
Run at it.
And then he's going, oh, wow. Oh, my. They did what?
Uh-huh.
Very disrespectful.
Also, it is the season, Jones, so we were talking about Secret Santas, talking about Yankee Swap, that kind of thing, maybe on the show, and they led into this.
And
we are going to do
worthless.
Secret Santa on the show, though, just so as a heads up. We're all going to pull names later. So just be prepared to buy me something.
Be ready
nice.
For that. Yeah. What do you even get, Terp?
Terp?
Yeah, what do you even get? What do you even get?
A man who has everything?
What do you get a child like that? What do you even get him?
Protection.
Condoms.
I was going to say Playmobil. We're going there.
Just 1,000 Magnum condoms. That's what I get, Terp.
Constantly on cruises, constantly on vacation.
It's true. Guy was in D.C. a few weeks ago. Who knows what's going on there?
Did you see him in a suit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All business terms.
Hands combed, suit on.
All business terms. That's true.
On the White House.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lane violation, and I got away with it.
And a gift card to Urgent Care. Merry Christmas, Terv. Yes, we've decided maybe we're not going
to
do Secret Santa.
Urgent care. This gift card to Urgent Care the first go around.
You never know what you might come down with.
No. You're going to need this.
Yeah.
Trust me, you're going to want this.
He's a young gun, you know?
Yeah.
To be 22 again. Am I right?
Yeah.
I was living the dream.
It was. The girls were less concerned about that with me.
That's all right. That's
yeah.
You want to play a quality over quality.
That was really
game.
One of my big selling points. You're not going to catch anything from him.
Yeah. Pretty clean over here. Pretty real squeaky clean. Don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Maybe that's the cleanest.
clean and quick.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not bad.
No,
right?
In retrospect, I should have leaned in on that
quick
more.
Quick and clean.
Not catching anything here.
Not bad.
Yeah.
We also talked on the program about Christmas trees. Oh. You and I both got our Christmas tree.
Keith's trees.
Keith's trees. This week was a little bit more eventful for me, I think, than it was for you in the tree game. Up the street, there's a guy's, it's like a farm, like a makeshift kind of farm, not like a full farm, but they have stuff. And okay. No, I want to explain the story. So like they don't grow their own trees, but they bring them in.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got it.
But like
they have
other stuff there, and we like them local, and we've supported them the last several years with that. My wife's like, I don't even know if they have trees. Like maybe give them a call. So I call the guy up. I won't say the name, so I'll fake the name. This is a dead-on impression. You don't know what he sounds like, but you're about to hear it.
Okay.
Jones Farms. I'm like, yeah, hey, like, do you guys have any Christmas trees? Not today. Should be in tomorrow. 6 to 7 foot premiums. 7 to 8 foot premiums. Balsam fir. I'm like, okay, so you don't have them today?
Yeah.
So anyway, so like,
you don't have any 8 foot premiums?
So this was like Sunday after Thanksgiving. I'm like,
they're sold out of 7 foot premiums.
Like, you don't have them yet?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's fine. He's like, should be getting the truck tomorrow. I'm like, all right, great. So I call the next day. So we're like, we'll go Monday. I wanted to go Sunday, but we'll go Monday.
Sure.
Call the guy up again. Like, Jones Farms. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, sir, just checking in to see if you have any Christmas trees today. He goes, should be getting them tomorrow.
You're like, is this a recording?
I swear to God, I thought it was a recording.
Is this a Kevin McAllister talk boy?
He seriously was like, should be getting them. Just talk to the guy today.
Credit
should be
card
them tomorrow.
Oh, you got it.
You're home early.
I was like, honestly, sir, I'm like, thank you so much. So I said to my wife, I'm like, I think if I call tomorrow, he's going to say the same thing. Sadly, we had to go to a different place.
Man,
we had to go to a different place. Maybe next year we'll go there.
Talk to the guy today.
Slightly closer. Now the other problem with my tree is, and we posted it on Twitter and Instagram at Rich Keefe WEEI on Instagram, and we talked about it on the show yesterday. But I don't love my tree. I like a tree a little bit, maybe a little wider.
Yeah.
Than what I have.
Sure.
Doesn't fill the house the way that it used to fill the house in years past. So we got into that. My wife just texted me. She didn't spray paint the hut. She hand painted it. All right. Sorry. Let's make that clear.
You're going to get in trouble today.
Yeah. No, seriously. That is
not good.
That is going to be a long discussion after.
Awkward dinner tonight.
Yeah,
boy.
You think I spray painted this? Oh, I think I might have a picture of my tree from last year, which actually looking at it now.
Not.
I don't know if you could say this word.
I'll go for it.
As wide as it is tall. Can you say that?
No.
Okay. I won't. But you know what I'm talking about. Something that is as wide as it is tall.
That's rhymes with toad.
Correct. That's sort of what our tree was year ago.
Tuna can.
That's right.
Tuna can tree.
I missed the tuna can tree.
That's what we needed.
I go, can I say? Nick goes, no.
No, you don't even.
Don't even think it. Don't sound
even
it out.
That?
What are you doing? Don't do that.
Can't be
said. Don't do that.
The family show.
Also, we're not going to replay the whole thing, but yesterday we had a pretty great conversation around...
best gag is you're going to get around here.
Got multiple people asking how to re-listen to it. So if you go to the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, the show is there after every day, and we even break it down and we pull it out. So yesterday's Key for Madness gave us this gem.
Cheeseburger Club.
That guy.
Three all the way.
So we talked about, because the Wienerama is coming back to Cranston. So we talked about that yesterday as well. So there you go. There's your week in review.
The text line, 617-779-7937. They said, just review yesterday's show.
Oh, yeah.
Between the tuna can tree and the Key for Madness, I was laughing my ass off.
Hot wieners anywhere.
So that would be a way to do it.
Excuse me?
I have a meeting. I've been trying. Ken was at the event for the Greg Hill show.
Yeah.
Today. I've been trying to meet with Ken about the Wienerama. Set something up with the hot wiener guys.
I think we should.
No, yeah. I think we definitely should. Yeah. We got to get management on board with this.
I want an arm full of hot dogs.
Yeah,
that's what you need.
Yeah, how do we get that done? So we'll TBD on that one as well.
Billy, what really caught me off guard, maybe the highlight of the week, is when Jones said this.
I haven't had a wiener in the past 3 months.
I almost fell out of my chair when I heard that.
So no, not you, Jones.
Quite a confession.
Not you.
Quite a confession. 617-77.
This came so fast, and it just hit me like that, and I didn't even realize it.
Pretty good. Sorry, we're done. We're done.
Speaking of that, we'll get to Bill Belichick. And, well, the interview that he had at the University of North Carolina, why did he meet with them? Why did they meet with him? What does it tell us about his future? We'll get back into that next.
Cheeseburger Club.